This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Japan is planning what appears to be harsh new rules on foreign investment in industries related to national security, raising fears that they could be used to deter shareholder activism as well as repel global advisors from the Tokyo market.
So according to multiple finance ministry officials, the government intends to lower the threshold for approval needed to hold a stake in sensitive companies. So currently, approval is required for stakes above 10%, and it could be reduced to as little as 1%.
Now, this would create a new hurdle to investing in Japan. Affecting industries might be aerospace, electricity, telecommunications, broadcasting, railways, and even software companies.
So for more insight into this, we have on the line with us this morning Jonathan Berkshire-Miller, Senior Fellow at the Japan Institute of International Affairs. Thank you for joining us, Jonathan. So what would be the impact that you see of Japan tightening its restrictions on foreign investment?
Well, thanks a lot for having me on. I think that this is largely, these new regulations are largely aimed when looking at, if you look at Tokyo's ally in the U.S., has very similar restrictions, and it's increasing its restrictions on foreign investment. So this is not all about the 5G Huawei issue, but this is significantly, I think, Japan is looking at Chinese investment when it comes to this. Each year, there is about 50 acquisitions by Chinese companies in Japan. And I think this is kind of where Japan is looking at this. I mean, it's very clear that these regulations are put for national security purposes. So although I do think it will have an impact and kind of probably a bottleneck for some of, especially Chinese acquisitions, I don't know that this will have such a great impact on other foreign investors.
And Jonathan, what is driving the need for these restrictions?
Well, I think Japan is doing a thorough review. It's interesting to note that it created its National Security Council under Abe's tenure, 2013-2014. And then within, as it grows on its National Security Council now, just as recently created an economic policy section within that National Security Council. So I think they're trying to streamline decisions, make sure that they have all insights from, whether it's from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Trade and Industry, Defense, and other national security agencies. And I think this has been a product that's come out of that. I think Japan is kind of long overdue for looking at how it screens foreign investment. And I think that while, as I said, this is not purely about 5G or Huawei, I think this provides a framework for similar sorts of investments in the coming years.
And what about the trade dispute with South Korea? Is there any solution in sight?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I mean, I think that there's a couple different elements to it. Obviously, from a trade perspective, the biggest element now is the whitelist exemption, which South Korea is unhappy about, and it's been asking Japan to put them back on the white list. South Korea has, of course, taken actions to put Japan on its own white list as well with regard to three components, high-tech components. I think that there's a range of different tensions now in this relationship. There's historical tensions, there's legal tensions, which is something the Japanese are taking very seriously about the 1965 treaty. So I think it's all of these issues are going to be difficult to resolve in a grand bargain approach. I think that we've seen that from the multiple times the foreign ministers have met since the whitelist exemption has been put in. I think the best way forward is going to be to kind of compartmentalize these. So whether it's the trade focused issue on the whitelist exemption, I think it's going to have to be done at the bureaucratic level between Japan's trade ministries and that of South Korea. The more that we can kind of get the political side out of this, out of these kind of highly charged issues, I think the better for looking at a resolution.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. And that was Jonathan Berkshire-Miller, Senior Fellow at the Japan Institute of International Affairs. And I guess for me, the other interesting elements to this Japan and South Korea spat is, will they be able to resolve it without the aid of the U.S.? Because the U.S. under Trump has pursued a definite policy of non-interference. So they haven't said anything in regards to this kind of a growing dispute between South Korea and Japan, whereas under the Obama administration, they would have waded in. So whether or not that's going to play a part in this, I don't know. That's going to be interesting to see.
It's also slightly counterintuitive to the ills that the Japanese economy is facing, right? Because you've got deflation at negative 0.5%, while your targets at 2%. You would imagine that they would actually want to improve FDI flow into Japan and kind of resuscitate the economy.
And that's been something that Shinzo Abe has been on a mission to do since, like, I think 2012, because we have seen Japan reemerge as a fairly major source of for foreign investors to look at for in terms of where to place their money. So it's very odd that this should be coming about now, because it does, as you say, seem counterintuitive to what Shinzo Abe has been doing up until this point.
Yeah, and also I think we're looking at this growing narrative of, you know, with regards to lack of trust when it comes to technologies that are coming from countries like China, and all that narrative has been spreading. It started off with the US, and then after that every country is starting to speak about it, and now it's moving on to Japan as well. And so this is the latest country to crack down on foreign investment as a result of this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.